remains for us this morning. And the challenge I'd like to leave with you this morning has been a challenge to our own hearts. We've gone from Canada back to India not really knowing the full extent of what to expect. But in a sense, we were doing what I want to share with you this morning. The title of my message is Launch Out Into the Deep. Launch Out Into the Deep. For those of us who are familiar with fishing, I've been twice this year, this summer rather, after coming back. And we have different ideas. Sometimes we see people on the shore just throwing and you wonder, what could you catch from off the shore? And then you see a few people with these tiny little boats and canoes just along the streams and brooks. And then Jack Hanna from Westney Heights says, no, we're not going along the streams and brooks. We're going out into Lake Ontario from Belleville. And I got to admit, the first day I got sick, I got seasick. Because we were out in choppy waters and I hadn't been in the water for a long time. And we even got skunked. We didn't catch anything, okay? But the second time we went, and I was okay. I think getting used to it again, we launched out into the deep again, and this time I caught something. So if you would turn to Luke chapter 5, I'd like to use from the scriptures, from what Luke records. He says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. I just want to leave five words with you this morning. The first word is found in verse 1. People are listening. It's a fact. People are listening to the word of God. Very often we begin from this side of the mission field, and I mean our Western world, and we think of all the difficulties, we think of all the obstacles, we think of all the fears, we think of all the answers we don't have to those people that might be asking us. But I want to tell you this, when you cross that ocean and get to the other side, what we discover is all of these things we've been worrying from this side of the border, they're not even there. People are willing to listen to the word of God. And that's what Jesus found when he got to the lake of Gennesaret. People were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. And this is what we found back home in India. When you notice how we say back home, we're kind of citizens of two nations right now. So when we go to India, we're back home. When we come to Canada, we're back home too. We found that people are hungry for the word of God. Radio ministry is such a flourishing ministry. Everywhere you go, there's a tiny transistor radio blaring. We've gone past that, of course. We want TV screens, but the third world still sticks to their transistor radios. And so Transworld Radio, Global Outreach Ministries, are some that are still broadcasting the Word of God. And often we get people coming to us asking questions. They say, you know what? I heard this on the radio. Can you tell me more? And so people are hungry and listening to the Word of God. Not so long ago, we had some young people go from our church at Morningstar to Mongolia. And they came back with these reports that they saw these strange rock piles periodically along the way with a blue flag planted on it. And so they got down to the bottom of it and asked, what is the meaning of those rock piles with a blue flag? And they heard this amazing story. In the 1200s, Genghis Khan the man from the Mongolian hordes who conquered more of the world than even Alexander the Great did. He had actually sent word to the Western church, send us 100 men who will come and tell us about Jesus Christ in Mongolia and China. Guess how many people went in response to that call? Not even one. Records show that two monks tried to set out from Rome to go, but by the time they got to Turkey, the going was so rough, they left and went back home. And so there are people still hungry. And so Genghis Khan ordered that these rock piles be set with a blue flag to say, someday we hope somebody will come and tell us about Jesus Christ. People are willing to listen to the gospel. The second word I want to leave with you is, Jesus says, launch out into the deep. I know NIV said, put out into deep water. But I like the words in the King James and the New King James Version. It says this, launch out into the deep. It is a challenge that Jesus gives to us. It requires courage. Just as it required courage the first time 22 years ago maybe, when I was invited to go fishing on Lake Ontario by somebody who had a boat that was a little bit bigger than the size of this drum set area. And then when I'm about to get in, he says, put on your life jacket. That sounded very ominous. But I went. And that day we caught a 15-pound rainbow trout from Lake Ontario. Wow. Launch out into the deep. If you really want to find something rewarding, the challenge to us is to launch out into the deep. Now, I'm not here to tell you exactly what you need to do. But I'm saying this, in our faith walk with God, there are different areas where the Spirit of God is challenging us to launch out into the deep. It will take courage. It will need willingness on our part. If you read the verse 2, in verse 2 it says, these fishermen, they were finished for the day. Their boats were already beached. They were already washing their nets. And so they had fished all night. It was done. I can imagine we could probably be giving Jesus excuses like, well, you came the wrong time. This is not our service time. This is our weekend. And yet, there had to be a willingness on the part of Simon Peter to launch out into the deep. There also has to be a willingness to take risks. Not many of us are open to risk-taking. I think of our investments sometimes. You get people from both ends of the spectrum. Some who are very conservative, in other words, afraid to take risks. And then you have the other people on the other side of the spectrum who love to take risks. But what about for the gospel's sake? I'd like to quote from our former fellowship president, Terry Cuthbert. We were at a missions conference earlier last month, and he made this comment on risk-taking. Biblical risk is the situation where we must take the seed of our faith and plant it in the soil of our circumstance. God invites us into this tension. We live compelled by the Spirit to move forward, not knowing what is ultimately in store for us. The Christian life, lived to the glory of God, is risky. End quote. Yes. I could lose my life just walking across the street. I could lose my life just driving onto the 401. But are we prepared to put our lives on the line for the gospel's sake, to launch out into the deep? And then the third word I want to leave with you is the command Jesus gave to the disciples when he says, let down your nets for a catch. Let down your nets for a catch. Was it a new command? No, it wasn't. For a fisherman to tell him, let down your nets, they've been doing that all the time. That's what Peter in fact said. Lord, we've been doing it all night and we haven't caught anything. How does it work in our lives? So often we hear a challenge, and you will be hearing more challenges in 2 weeks' time at your missions conference. Beware that we don't go catch ourselves saying, been there, done that, nothing new. The words of Jesus might come to you, let down your nets again.
You may have done it all night. You may have done it all your life, in fact. But he says to us again, let down the nets for a catch. And I like the words of Peter. He says, nevertheless, because you say so, we will let down the nets for a catch. One more time. Sometimes the fear of failure hinders us from letting down the nets. And we are so hung up on expecting fruit from our labors. Now, don't get me wrong. I am very aware, as a missionary on mission support, we need to send back reports to show you some results, okay? But what happens is, what if we sent you a report and said, pray for us? There's nothing much going on. In fact, we did hear the report of one of our missionaries at the missions conference last month, supported by FEB, and he very straightforward said, he says, perhaps my report is going to be very different from many other reports. We don't have much results to report. They work about 2 kilometers away from the Vatican. He says from his bedroom window, he can see the Pope every morning doing the sign of the cross. He says, I don't know whether he's blessing us or he's telling us, get out of Italy. He said, we've been there for 15 years trying to plant a church. No success. Should we give up? No. William Carey, whom Mary mentioned, for the first 7 years in India, he labored with no results. And it was at the end of the 7th year he got his first convert. When we got back to India, my Bengali associate pastor, he said the same thing. He said, Pastor, I've been going out to this place ministering for the last 5 years or so, and we've had no results. So I said to him, let's pray. And I just wanted to encourage him not to think that his job was going to be lost because he has no results to show for it. We prayed. And last year, God answers in amazing ways. Last year we had a cyclone come through Calcutta and it hit the neighboring areas. And this very place where he was going to minister every week, this family that was opening their home for the weekly meetings, on one corner of their property was a Hindu temple that was attached to them. And so these guys were like doing double duty. When our pastor was there, they'll have Bible study in their home. And when our pastor was not there, they were at the temple doing the duty there. So it kind of like caught in two worlds. When that cyclone came last year, it blew, knocked the whole temple down. But their house was still standing. And so these two guys, the man and his wife, they began to wonder, what is happening? What is God trying to say to us? And in February of this year, 6 people from that area accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I think of my associate pastor working 6 years, no fruit. And he comes to me at the end in February when this happened. He couldn't wait to get back. Same procedure, okay? That little auto rickshaw with goats, boat, and a train to come back home. And then he came excitedly to my door and said, this is what happened. 6 of them have accepted Christ. Let down the nets for a catch. See, very often, can I show you, we probably could be bored fishermen like Simon and James and John were that night. We could be just putting our nets down and say, what are you doing? Oh, fishing. What do you expect to catch? Oh, nothing. You know what I mean? I don't want to get out in a boat on the lake and say, give this answer. What do you expect to catch? Nothing. I don't expect to catch nothing. I expect to catch the biggest one. And so here we find the obedience of Simon that day brought some awesome results. It says, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, verse 6, that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Missions committee, I have a motto for you. Breaking nets and sinking boats. How about that? Yes, that's what was happening. Their nets were breaking, their boats were sinking, and they were saying, help, help, we can't even get this ashore. I am convinced that the best results are yet to come. Will it come in your time, my time? I don't know, but we simply need to obey. When Jesus says, launch out into the deep, let down your nets. And if we simply obey, it will happen. And then the fourth word I want to give to you is a life-changing mission that Jesus gave to Simon. In verse 10 it says, Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. A life-changing mission. First of all, there was an act of repentance. A very seemingly strange reaction from Peter. It says, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. You know what? When we come face to face with the holiness of God and the awesomeness of God and the wonders of God's actions, it will simply remind us that we are unworthy. All this is happening because of the grace of God. And there are times my wife and I have fell on our knees and we've just sobbed. We just even couldn't pray. Because we say to God, Lord, what did we do to deserve this? It's not because of us. It's because of His grace. And that's what these men experienced. Peter could say, Lord, I am a sinful man. I thought I could catch fish. But sinking boats and breaking nets, that's not what I expected. When Isaiah met with the holy God, you remember him? He would say, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. When we come face to face with the awesomeness of and reality of God in our lives, it will remind us of our sinfulness. It will remind us once again, it's not of us, it's of Him. And if you will also read, his partners were astonished. I find this, I call this reverence. And reverence is something that is a sad commentary about the 21st century Church of Jesus Christ, is that sadly there is a lack of reverence for God and the things of God. We've become so familiar. Oh, we know, we go to church, this will happen, this will happen, this will happen. And so there's an absence of reverence. The church in India is plagued with several diseases. And I'd like to just point out two of them. One of them is tardiness. People come late to church. We start our service at 9, and by about 9:35 I get the pulpit. And if you come to my church, our pulpit is still one of the original pulpits of William Carey. It's so high that you're almost halfway to heaven. But I think I know why William Carey had that pulpit made. You can keep an eye on the whole congregation. And so people, I like the way your church is set up. You know, you have entrance from the front, so anybody who comes late will be... You can't just sneak in the back. But this is what I noticed from my pulpit in back home in India. People are walking in at 9:45. At 9:55, it's almost like they want to just get their foot in the door before the 10 o'clock hour strikes and say, Lord, I was present. Please mark me in my register. And I think of those people, do they go to work late every day? I think not. One of my nieces was here with us, and we often joke about how when she first got her job with a Japanese company in India, she was late the first day. And her boss called her into the office and said to her, you know what? Our work begins here at 9 a.m. We expect you here at 8:59, not 9:01. And she'd never been late since that. And yet for God, some people are just in the habit, oh, he can wait. Get that. The second disease in India is this. By the way, if some of you are in the cell phone selling business, get into India. It's a huge market. Every person seems to have a cell phone. Even the beggar on the street has a cell phone. Yes. We were shocked. Some of our pastors were walking on the streets and they saw this guy. One of the pastors asked me, is he a beggar? I said, well, he is. He's homeless and he's there living on the sidewalk. And he said, but the guy's on the phone. He does have. Well, it becomes not so funny when people in the church And this is what I'm talking in the context of the lack of reverence for God now. Their cell phones are still left on. And in our home church, we have the deacons sit here in the front, still the old style. And I often wonder, they don't sit there anymore. We've changed things around a little bit. But I think they were designed to sit there so that they can keep an eye on the flock for the pastor, you know. But this one Sunday when we were there, just newly there, the phone goes off. And he hadn't even put it on silent. It's on the old-fashioned tring, tring. And he picks it up right there, sitting there. I'm speaking. And he starts to talk on the phone and slowly gets up and walks out. And I'm saying, how on earth are we going to teach our church reverence for God? You see, the cell phone has taken away that sense of respect and reverence for the things of God. We need to be released from that. And finally, the last word I wanted to leave with you is found in verse 11, and that is their response. Their response was they left everything and followed Jesus. They left everything and followed Jesus. Verse 11 said, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Here's a fact. Fishermen never leave fish for anybody. You know, I've been fishing with a lot of good friends, a lot of good pastors, okay? And I've been in a situation where we're pastors from all over, from Calvary, from Ajax, from Pickering and Scarborough, and we're fishing. And some of us have come up with nothing after a whole day. But some of them have caught two or three. Now, I'm probably still too Asian. I think this way. Oh, you got three, maybe you're going to share one of those. But no. Fishermen never give their fish away, right? That's a fact. But here we find Peter, James, and John left two boatloads of fish and followed Jesus. And it was just not two boatloads of fish that they left. I want you to know that Peter, James, and John were actually partners in a fishing enterprise. Because if you notice, as we read in verse 7 and then in verse 10, it says they were partners. So when they left everything to follow Jesus, Peter, James, and John actually left the Simon, James, and John Fishing Inc. Private Limited to follow Jesus Christ. How do we respond to the call of God? I don't know what it is that you hold dearest to your heart. But sometimes God does want to touch that in our lives. And will say, are you willing to leave that to launch out into the deep? As I said, I'm not here to give you a list of how you are to launch out into the deep. I'm not here to even give you a list of what you are to leave or what you are to risk. But I think each of us needs to answer this challenge from the Lord. The Lord who came himself to this world, leaving everything behind in heaven to seek and to save those that are lost. The Lord who sends us, and he continues to send those who are willing to go. He is the one who challenges us this morning to launch out into the deep. And may you experience the blessing that Peter, James, and John experience. We continue to experience as we go in simple faith and obedience, launching out into the deep. God bless you. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for the words of Jesus to us to launch out into the deep. And Lord, we do not know exactly what all that involves, but we thank you that the Lord who calls and the Lord who sends is the Lord who is able to provide and sustain and to show us where to go. And so I pray that this will be the response from each heart bowed in your presence here this morning, that when we hear your call to launch out into the deep, we will leave everything and obey. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.